welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
That's a better start anyway, see?
I hope so. We had a false start.
You sound more enthusiastic and happy.
Hey yo. Ta-ta.
I don't know if you could be an influencer in those standard dimensions.
You are
way above influencer material, but
I am getting so old that I'm gonna be grandma influencer.
That's a whole new
Except
market.
Except our children
maybe.
Will never have children, so then I won't ever get to be grandma.
Well, we could be.
I wonder if I could market that.
We could be childless grandparents.
Childless grandparents.
We could start a babysitting business.
Anything for money, man.
Don't bring anything to Grant. Our quote is Grant, like in our names in quotes, like grandma, grandpa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grandma,
don't
Sean.
Don't bring nothing to grandma's house for lunch but candy. Because we're gonna give your kids candy and caffeine.
You want some dope?
No, what are you, crazy? Mm-hmm. You would never do anything like
that. I would never allow that.
Me neither.
Because I'm boring. But
you don't need it.
And I believe in the law.
You don't need it with daycare age kids. Sugar and caffeine do it.
You'd be one of those grandpas who come by in your truck and you're like, come on in. We're going to go get us some Kit Kats.
That's right.
And some Reese's peanut butter.
We're
going to
crumble up on top of a big old cup of ice cream.
Let's go find us a Blizzard.
That's a homemade Blizzard right there. So, cheaper.
I can just totally see you doing that.
And bigger.
And the children come home like zombies. And with chocolate and ice creams. And some slushy from a 7-Eleven or whatever. Shame. Yeah. And the mom's like, and the dad's like, no more, grandpa. No more.
Come here, boy. Let me show you how many sugar packets to put in that Slurpee.
So wrong.
Yeah, I could get coffee. They could get a Slurpee and we'll dress them up the same way with sugar and stuff.
You'll be like, what did you learn at grandpa's? I learned about flaming hot Doritos.
Yeah. And I need new underwear.
And Slim Jims. I learned back in the day cigarettes weren't illegal, but once they were, everyone switched to chew and vapes.
That's not true. Because they're not illegal anyways.
They are for children.
Oh. Well, I mean, you know.
Think of the children, Sean. Think of the children.
Oh, for kids, you mean?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to stop our random thought now.
Oh, really? I want to talk about the daycare idea some more. I'm just kidding.
You terrify me.
Rule number one, if your child's on a special diet or has a food allergy, they cannot come here, sorry.
We're just not capable of taking care of
That's every right.
kid. It's not because we don't want them to be here. It's just because we know we will kill them. By accident.
Our insurer won't come.
Yeah, that would be very bad. Thank God none of our own children have allergies.
Come see the homemade roller coaster out back.
Hey, welcome to the main part of the podcast where we don't talk about accidentally killing your children because we are not detail-oriented enough to keep them alive.
Well, that's only one of us, really.
Oh.
But I would feed your kid all kinds of crap food, so.
You just don't want to do it. So anyways, this is about how to stay motivated. That was the sound of a Sparty dog.
That was our 100-pound dog.
Flopping on the ground.
It was only supposed to be 50 pounds. Laying down gently.
Why you don't want to trust your children at our daycare.
That's how I practice.
So anyways, this is about how to stay motivated if you're a writer or if you're anyone. Ready? And it's a different way of thinking about it. Okay?
Yeah, I'm ready. Because sometimes right. I need this.
So a lot of us writers are all about goal, 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 action step, action step, action step. What is my reward at the end of trying to write this book or this poem? It's going to be, I can send it out for potential publication, right?
Truly, that your reward is you get to write the words, the end.
So a lot of writers, and that's the wrong mindset, according to this new mindset, not that new, but a lot of writers hate writing. And they'll sit and they'll stare at the blank page or at the screen and they end up posting about how hard writing is and how torturous. And their post gets them a million likes and I usually get annoyed. And for most of those writers, it wasn't always like that. Like, why would you become a writer if you hate the act of writing, right?
Right.
And so for most of us who write, because at one point, we really loved writing. Like most of us who draw, at one point we really loved drawing, right?
Yeah.
And there was a study of little kids in a school setting, and these little kids really loved to draw. They chose it as a free time activity over and over again. And so the researchers started to give them like gold stars every time they drew as like a reward for the drawing activity, right? Uh-huh. For choosing it. So the kids kept drawing, and they kept getting gold stars and praise. And then the researchers took the gold stars away, and the kids stopped drawing.
Really?
Which was this thing they loved, right? Because they were no longer getting the external reward and the dopamine rush for it. Their internal reward before the study had compelled them to draw, but that no longer mattered. Which That's is kind crazy. Of amazing, right?
Can you put that into the adult writing terms for me?
Yeah. So you write because you love writing. You're like, oh my gosh, making a story is so fun. I'm the perfect example of that. I quit my job at the newspaper to go get an MFA because I realized writing fiction was so much more fun than writing newspaper stories, right? I loved it. And so many other writers, like they're like, oh yeah, I always loved writing. Right?
Right.
But then you start writing and you're like, oh, I'm spending a lot of time writing. I need to try to get published. I'm not a real writer unless I get published. I'm not a real writer unless I get into my MFA program. I'm not a real writer unless I get an agent. So on and so on and so on. And so it all becomes about external validation instead of writing because you love writing. And you enjoy the process of writing. Instead, you're all focused on, well, will my readers like this? Will my agent like this? Will the editor like this? Will I ever make money off of this? Will I be able to market this if I'm self-published on Amazon? And will my readers give me good reviews? And instead of joyous, it becomes, and writing and doing it just for the sake of doing it, it becomes doing it for the sake of everybody else.
Right. It's like you turn it into like a responsibility now.
Right.
And you feel responsible to your readers and to your bank account.
Yeah. But it's like instead of finding the validation and the joy in the process itself, we're all looking towards the end result of the process. Right? So we're not enjoying writing the book, or we're not enjoying revising the book. Although I love revising a book and I actually love writing a book. But instead of that, we're all like, oh, I can't wait for when I get my book done. And that is a dopamine rush, right?
Yeah.
Because we make that end goal, like that external reward and the validation. And dopamine is basically just this feel-good chemical or a neurotransmitter, right? And it brings information from one neuron to another. It's like the Uber in your brain. And your brain lets that dopamine loose into the nervous system, right? Like when you do the horizontal mambo, or when you eat something yummy, when you do cool things, when you drink even, or do drugs. do not do drugs. But that's why those things are so addictive, right? Because you get that dopamine rush and it's like, oh, go find that happy thing again. And when we do painful things like running or studying or writing our epic novel about two gerbils against the universe, our brain will release dopamine later for the reward, right?
Yes.
Of being done. Like, oh, thank God I ran my 5 miles. Or like, oh, thank God I studied. Or, oh, thank God I managed to stay in my desk in my cubby at work today and did not quit. Or thank God. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But
you're cubby.
Yeah, but like, so, and your brain's like, yay, all done at the end, right?
Right.
But most of our life isn't at the end.
Right.
It's in the doing and in the process. And so what you have to do is kind of like try to train your brain to release the dopamine during the process and the hard stuff. And that helps you stay motivated.
I found the easiest way to do that is to drink alcohol.
No. No. We do not condone that. All right. So instead, in the moment, you want to say, I'm doing this by choice. I'm doing this because I love it. And you say, this is hard, but hard is good because hard means striving and hard means I'm probably in a growth mindset and hard means I'm getting someplace. I'm not a lazy poopasaurus.
Right.
So you want to return, like turn effort into reward, basically, and pull pleasure from the effort itself, not the reward that comes at the end, because that makes you resent the effort. And when you resent the effort, you lose your motivation. So if you're an overthinker, you might realize that there may be no reward at the end, no 7-figure book contract, no marathon that you magically finish in the top 10 because you keep hurting your knee. And so then you resent the effort, right? And then when you resent it, you don't do it. And when you don't do it, you don't get your goals. And when you don't do it or when you resent it, you're freaking unhappy.
That's right.
And nobody should be so unhappy. So you want your dopamine to be linked to the training of running and studying and all that effort itself. And you want to have it linked to putting your butt in the chair and writing about Xena, gerbil princess, and her true love, the gerbil bar, Gabby. But there's there's a Navy SEAL guy, and his name is David Goggins or Goggins. He's made a ton of money being a motivator person. And he's retired from the SEALs, but not retired from making money. And he is all about this, about giving what you do, everything that you have, so that you can achieve greatness and self-discipline and toughness. Now, like a Navy SEAL, if we think about it, seems a light year away from most of us writers sending out our social media posts about how much they hate writing and how painful it is about
writer's life, pajamas and socks in bed.
Yes. Or about the writer who only looks towards the reward of publication, traditional or massive sales, like for independent or traditional. But why does this matter, right? And I think it really matters because I work with a ton of authors who are so talented, but some can't bring, that is our neighbor sawing things. Some writers can't bring themselves to write anymore. Oh, podcast. I work with a ton of authors who are super talented, but they're so afraid of rejection. Like they're afraid to lean in to their talent or enjoy that talent or enjoy that process or even write pages anymore. Right?
Really?
Yeah. And Goggins says, our culture has become hooked on the quick fix, the life hack, efficiency. Everyone's on the hunt for the simple action algorithm that nets maximum profit with the least amount of effort. There's no denying this attitude may get you some kind of trappings of success if you're lucky, but it won't lead to a calloused mind or self-mastery. And if you want to master the mind and remove your governor so you can go full throttle, you'll have to become addicted to hard work, because passion and obsession and even talent are only useful tools if you have the work ethic to back them up, according to him. What do you think, man?
I think that
our neighbor has work ethic because he's working right now.
Well, it's not that late.
No,
it's not dark out.
6 p.m., man. It's not bad.
It's not the neighbor that mows in the dark.
No, we have a mayor.
A mayor. Don't have a mayor, actually.
Who mows in the dark and weed whacks.
With a little headlamp. He's motivated.
He is motivated, man.
For what? To do what?
Oh, I think he just wants our neighborhood to look good.
Yeah.
I think he's proud of his work, man. It's not even his primary job.
Well, no.
Man, he's hard working.
It's not even his lawn.
It's often not. I wish he'd come take care of our lawn.
Hey, I just took care of that today.
I haven't gone outside.
You stood at the window and said the lawn looks great.
Oh, I thought you meant the front.
Oh, well, maybe. Maybe not.
But that's the point. The point is, you want to be motivated by being addicted to the effort of doing, of the act of doing, and not to the result that you expect.
That's my philosophy for the bedroom, baby.
Oh, my God.
It is. Dog tip for life. I just like to see you flex, baby.
So Pogie's, I think, exhibiting this right now, man.
Oh, she is motivated. Hopefully she has a legit toy. She does, actually. I can see it.
So our new dog, Pogie, is currently tossing the toy around in the living room. And she will, she's doing
if that, she babe. Wasn't busy with that, she'd probably give us a great dog tip in relation to this podcast.
That is the dog tip in relationship to the podcast.
Yeah.
Pogie enjoys every minute. She doesn't look for the effort or the reward of, like, a treat, even. She enjoys the act of, like, playing.
She does.
And the act of, hey, learning. And the act of pleasing. And the act of giving you too many kisses and huggies.
Oh, she's a good kisser.
But that's Pogues, right? Like, she's all about living.
She's a very loving dog.
There's a dopamine pump.
She's a hard-living, hard-loving dog.
just like my husband.
Just like her mom. Shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new,
amazing, creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah.